T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Red Sox-Yankees game 2 tonight at the stadium. Here in New England, we'll be watching Nesson, Don Orsillo, and Jerry Remy. But down in New York, they'll be watching the YES Network. And part of the YES Network is former Red Sox player, former Yankees player, former catcher John Flaherty's on the line with us. John, it's Dale and Michael. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Oh, doing great.
Doing great. You know, it's been portrayed different ways this whole series. And Tony Maserati in today's Herald said, the Red Sox want to win. The Yankees have to win. Do you agree?
Oh, that's put perfectly. You know, I said last night that, you know, the Yankee players probably won't come out and say it, but you have to be thinking sweep here these 3 days. And, you know, they took care of business last night. And to tell you the truth, it was really the first game that they played an all-around good game. They were aggressive on the bases. They got good pitching. They got some home runs. Played some good defense, made a few silly errors. But you know what? Overall, it was probably their best performance. And, you know, it couldn't have come at a better time for them. Now they hope that Mike Mussina returns to form and they can get the second game.
There are so many opinions on Joe Torre. Joe Torre should stay, as Mike Vaccaro says in the New York Post. Joe Torre should go, as Jeff Perlman says on ESPN.com. Where do you stand?
Well, for me, you know, being a guy that played for Joe for 3 years, you know, there's no doubt that he should stay. I mean, it's not his fault the way that things have started out. It's not his fault about the injuries. And, you know, when you talk about changing a manager, you're talking about making a change that is going to make a difference. And I just don't see how that's going to happen. You know, there's been talk of bringing in a Larry Boa who's more fiery and get guys going. And it wouldn't work in that clubhouse. And I think that's one of Joe Torre's strengths is how he handles that clubhouse. And you know what? I think he's deserved over his run here in New York. He deserves the chance to go out there and see if he can change things. And you know what? I hope that's going to happen.
Having used 7 rookie starters already, the injury situation is obvious. But you've also had guys who are not rookies who have underperformed. What's the idea in your mind behind struggles of Bobby Abreu, Johnny Damon, Robinson Cano, and some others?
Well, you can look at them all individually. You know, Johnny Damon's been beat up a little bit physically. You know, the legs haven't been that great, and he hasn't been in the lineup on a consistent basis. And last night he really was a spark plug that the Yankees need, so hopefully he'll get back on track. Robinson Cano, you know, it's a case of a young player who's really never struggled before in the major leagues. And I think that pitchers have figured him out a little bit, that you don't have to throw him too many strikes, that he'll go up there swinging the bat and expand the strike zone, and he needs to make an adjustment like a lot of young players have to early on in their career. And, you know, just it's one of those things that anything that could go wrong for the Yankees has gone wrong. When they pitch well, they haven't hit. When they hit well at the beginning of the year, they haven't pitched. And, you know, all the injuries are, they've happened. I mean, they're real. But one thing about being around the Yankees, they never use them as excuses. And I remember in 2003 when Derek Jeter separated his shoulder, it was kind of like, all right, we'll find a way. You know, everybody else has to pick up the slack, and that's what they're trying to do here with a lot of these young pitchers.
John, you just mentioned Jeter. You've seen him play much more often than we have. You've played with him. So I'll just say this. I was very surprised when he made the error last night, and I was surprised that he's had so many errors at this point in the season. Is there a story behind the story, or do the numbers speak for themselves?
No, I think, you know, last night that wasn't the easiest play in the world. I think it was Lugo who was running. He runs pretty well. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like hitting when you get on a good streak, you know, and the ball looks big and it's kind of easy. And it works the other way defensively when all of a sudden you make a few errors and then you start thinking about it. And then the next thing you know, they pile up on you. But you know what? Derek Jeter, you know, in this town, he's the guy that the Yankees want up at the plate every time there's a big situation. I mean, he's gotten off to a great start, obviously, himself and Posada. You know what, but he's gone through some funks defensively early, and you know, to his defense, I think he's gotten them out of the way, and now he's moving forward.
If Brian Cashman is in the market for a player at the trade deadline, and the Yankees almost always are, does he have the trading capital to be able to get a deal done? For instance, if he decides, hey, let's go see if we can get Helton out of Colorado to play first base for us, has he got the players to get that done?
Oh, he does. You know, we've seen a lot of the young players, I guess, unfortunately for the Yankees in the big leagues already. a lot of the pitchers. You know, Tyler Clippard had a nice outing the other night against the Mets, and, you know, the Phillip Hughes, obviously he's untouchable, but we've seen some good young pitchers, Matt DeSalvo, Chase Wright, you know, so they've gotten some auditions in the major leagues, and they definitely are chips for trades to be made. But, you know, if you talk to Brian Cashman, he's trying to change the philosophy here in New York, and he doesn't want to trade away a lot of his good young players. And to tell you the truth, it's a ball club that I think if they were going to do anything, it would be maybe to go out and get a right-handed bat. You know, I think they miss Gary Sheffield more than they probably thought that they would. And they just don't, you know, they're susceptible to the lefties. And if they went out and got somebody, I would think it would be more of a Richie Sexton-type guy to play first base who's right-handed. And, you know, he's been struggling early, so you might be able to get him a little cheaper. But that's really the only thing that they can go out and do. It's almost like they've made their bed, you know, with this team, and they have to sleep in it and just hope that it turns around.
John, what are your thoughts on Jason Giambi's comments to USA Today that Major League Baseball should apologize and that he is sorry for doing that stuff? He never said the word steroids, but he did say stuff. Your thoughts, please.
Well, I mean, I think looking back on those years, you know, I think that it's one of those things that I'm not going to say that everybody knew what was going on, but it was almost one of those things that everybody just didn't really give it a whole lot of attention and stop it when it was starting, when it started to filter into Major League Baseball. And, you know, you can't really track it, obviously, when it started. But, you know, sometime in the early 90s, I think you started hearing some whispers about it. And from players' standpoint, you know, we didn't really stand up and make a stance. From ownership standpoint, you know, they didn't really stand up and make a stance. So, you know, I think everybody, they're not to blame. It's just one of those things that kind of snowballed into something really big, and now we're trying to clean up the game after making some mistakes.
As far as Giambi's comments, and there was a story, I believe it was in the New York Daily News, that the Yankees were looking to see if they could void his contract. If that's true, how do you think a story like that would play in the clubhouse among Giambi's teammates?
Well, it was the same old situation a few years ago, you know, when the Yankees looked into voiding the contract as well. So it's one of those things, and I, you know, I got asked how Jason would be able to handle all this stuff, and Jason has been through a lot of things in New York, and you know, he's handled them pretty well and rebounded last year to have a big year, and you know what, he's a professional, and when he gets out there, it's almost like that baseball field is your safe haven when you can get away from everything. And you know, I'm sure he's looking forward just to get out there and hit some home runs and get back on track. And had a home run last night. He seems to getting more healthy after that bone spur in the heel.
Roger Clemens is obviously a lock first ballot Hall of Famer. Kurt Schilling says he's the greatest right-handed pitcher in the history of baseball. At the age of 44 and arriving somewhere around June 1st, what are legitimate expectations coming back to the American League for Clemens?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I would obviously, you think that the ERA is going to go up. I would think it would probably somewhere around a 4. And, you know, with this lineup, that should be good enough to win plenty of games. But I don't see him being dominant. I see him being, you know, being a nice piece. And the one thing about a Roger Clemens start, it's a production. It's a big deal. And, you know, everybody sees the work that he puts in between starts, and he gives you everything that he has on that fifth day when he takes the baseball. So that's going to be good for a lot of the pitchers with the Yankees to see, you know, the kind of everything that he puts into his starts. He expects his teammates to give the same amount of effort. And you know what, the numbers, you know, what are they? You could debate, is he going to win 8 games? Is the ERA going to be 4? Is it going to be 3.5? We don't really know these things, but the one thing you know is that whatever Roger Clemens does, it would not surprise you if he was very successful.
He averaged 5.9 innings a start last year in the National League in Houston and in the National League Central. It's hard to picture he's going to do more than that coming to the American League East, isn't it?
It's hard to imagine, but, you know, you also have to think in the National League there might have been some times that he got pinch hit for a little prematurely when they had some runners on base. You know, sometimes the numbers can be a little bit deceiving. But, you know, in this day and age, if you can give 5, 6, 7 innings, you know, if you get to the 7th, it's a blessing, and that's the one thing that the Red Sox have done a great job of early on in the season is kind of staying away from that middle relief in their bullpen. And, you know, with the Yankees, I think if you said you're going to get 6 innings out of Roger Clemens, they would be very happy.
You know, John, last year, Bobby Abreu gave the Yankees a spark when he came over from Philadelphia. Not so much this year. What do you think his major issue has been in 2007?
Well, last year, the one thing that Bobby did is he drove the ball the opposite way so well, and early on in this season, for whatever reason, he got himself into some bad habits. And the one thing that's forgotten in all of this is that Bobby had an oblique problem in spring training, and he missed a whole lot of time. And when he came back, he came back with a vengeance and got off to a hot start. But that being said, he never went through the spring training struggles where you're kind of working on your swing and you're working on your mechanics and you find your keys to get back on track. And unfortunately for him and the Yankees, he had to go through that adjustment during the season. And, you know, the last couple of days, it looks like he's back to driving the ball the other way. And the one thing is, you know, he's such a patient hitter. When he was in that three spot, you know, he really made the pitchers work, and he hadn't been doing that through this rough stretch.
Tonight's starting pitcher, Mike Mussina, has had kind of an up-and-down season so far. He's got a 5.64 ERA. He's actually given up more hits than innings pitched. Do you feel that he's rounding into some semblance of form of what we're used to, or is what we're seeing what Mike Mussina is right now?
No, I think he's coming around. I think it's only a matter of time before he gets going. And the problem with Mike, he had the hamstring problem. He was on the disabled list for a little while. He didn't go down and do a minor league rehab. He just did like a simulated game at Yankee Stadium. And then the next thing you know, he's pitching in major league action. So he's still trying to round himself into shape and into form. You know, and it's one of those things, too. He's pitching on an extra day's rest here tonight, which, you know, Mike Mussina is one of those creatures of habit. He likes his routine. He likes to be on every fifth day. And it hasn't worked out for him since he's come off the disabled list in order to get that regular work. So the Yankees are hoping to get him, you know, more regular starts on every fifth day. And once that happens, he should round into shape.
John, I'm wondering, as an analyst or as a fan, which guys do you trust in that Yankee bullpen?
Well, let's see. I would trust Scott Proctor. Brian Bruni has done an outstanding job. Mariano Rivera has struggled early this year, but there's always a trust factor with him because of his track record. And you know what? Kyle Farnsworth has kind of turned the corner a little bit. And, you know, he finished up last night's ball game, and he's starting to gain some trust again. But you know how it is, guys, with the bullpen. It's one of those things where you get the hot hand and you have to ride him out for a while, and then somebody else steps up. And, you know, Mike Myers really has to get himself figured out because he hasn't done that great of a job this year. He got Ortiz to hit a sacrifice fly last night, but he needs to do a better job.
Has one of the real issues for Mariano just been too infrequent work? I mean, it's hard for Joe to find situations to bring him into, and maybe he just hasn't pitched as much as he needs to.
That's a good point. And, you know, the end results have been some home runs. And when you look at the replays of those pitches, he's just missing his location. And, you know, the one thing that we're used to from Mariano Rivera is obviously the good cut fastball, but the ability to put it wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And he hasn't been able to do that this year. And I think it's because of what you said. You know, he just hasn't gotten that consistent work. And it's a fine line for a closer. You know, you don't want to overwork him, but you want to keep him in a good rhythm. And Mariano just hasn't had that opportunity early this year to lock it in.
I know he had an elbow injury a while ago. Are there any concerns that that maybe he's hurt?
Well, you know, he had the elbow injury last year, and he came back strong after that. And the one thing that you always look at is, you know, obviously velocity is a big deal, and obviously the life on the pitches. And when we watch Mariano throw, he's still throwing 93 miles an hour, and he still has a good cut on that fastball and a good sink when he throws it in on the righties. Like I said, it's just the location that's been off. So, you know what, you don't want to jump to conclusions and say he's hurt because the velocity's fine and the action on the pitches is fine. It's just the location hasn't been very good.
The Yankees have not performed up to expectations, and your expectation is that they'll perform better. Is the view from afar that the Red Sox have exceeded expectations and that they're due to come back to earth?
Well, the view from here in New York is that, you know, the Red Sox have, you know, obviously gotten off to a great start. I think it's one of those things that everything has probably gone their way as far as, you know, they stayed away from injuries. Beckett is spending a little time on the DL, but it's not a major injury. And, you know, they've done what they wanted to do as far as get that starting rotation in shape. Now, that being said, you know, there are few teams that can play 162 games where everything goes exactly according to plan. So I think from the Yankees' standpoint, they're saying, you know what, everything has gone against us, and, you know, we're going to right the ship, and then hopefully somewhere down the road, the Red Sox will hit some sort of a little, you know, a little slump and maybe drop some games, and they can make up some ground and just get back in it. You know, I think the Yankee perspective now is maybe just trying to get it to six or seven games by the All-Star break. If you can do that, then you feel like you have a fighting chance.
Do you feel that the attitude within that clubhouse is where it needs to be right now?
I think last night went a long way towards that. I mean, you know, to me that was a statement game for the Yankee players, just to say, you know what, we've been talking all along about what kind of baseball we can play, and we finally showed it last night. I said they were very aggressive on the bases. You know, they hit some home runs. They got good pitching. The bullpen came through. It was kind of like their best all-around game. So I think from their standpoint, instead of talking about how they can play, they actually went out and showed it last night. And to do it against the Red Sox with, you know, as well as they've been playing, you know, maybe it's a statement for them that they are for real.
John, you've been around the Yankees for a long time. Are you surprised that, at least up to this point, only a strength and conditioning coach has gotten the gate? Because you've been around there when a lot more guys than that would have been out the door by now.
That's a good point, you know, but I think that, you know, like I said before, it's one of those things that the Yankees put this team together. It's kind of like they made their bed and they have to sleep in it, you know, and they're trusting what they did. You know, Mr. Steinbrenner obviously is showing some patience here, and I think Joe Torre's track record is the reason why. You know, if he doesn't have that track record on his ledger, then I think that a change would have been made a long time ago. But I really don't feel like, you know, if you make a change, you want to see some improvement. And I don't see where the changes that they can make, you know, i.e. firing a manager or the general manager, I don't see how it's going to make improvements right away. So I think they're doing the right thing and just kind of waiting it out.
John, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes and talking baseball with us. Thank you.
Have a good afternoon, guys.
Thanks,
you take
John.
Care.
See you.
Okay. John Flaherty, former catcher. Now works with the Yes Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.